Hello, everybody. This is Corinne and friends, and welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. As always, I feel so much gratitude that we are all joining together to strengthen these loving, healing ideas in our minds. So let's begin our practice, our time together this evening with closing our eyes and turning our attention within. Finding our willingness to see differently, our willingness to loose the world from all we thought it was, our willingness to question all of our beliefs, and our willingness to withhold nothing from our inner teacher. And finding this willingness, even if it's just a tiny speck, and offering this willingness to Spirit within, to our inner teacher in our own mind. And as we give our willingness to our inner teacher, we're asking for the miracle instead. This holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. So taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And with the love in your heart and the light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Yay. Oh, all right, so we're going to pick up where we left off last week. If you have the Sparkle Edition, we are on page 451. The paragraph begins with the sentence, "To have faith is to heal." That corresponds to the original edition, chapter 19, part 2, paragraph number 10. Again, to have faith is to heal. And that corresponds also to the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, Chapter 19, Part 1, paragraph number 9. And I mentioned before we started recording, I'll just say it again, since I'm reading from the Sparkle Edition, it's likely if you're following along with the FIP Edition that you're going to notice some of our paragraph breaks are different, but it's just for one spot from what I could see. So here we go. To have faith is to heal. It is the sign that you have accepted the atonement for yourself and would therefore share it. By faith, you offer the gift of freedom from the past, which you received. You do not use anything your brother has done before to condemn him now. You freely choose to overlook his errors, looking past all barriers between yourself and his, and seeing them as one. And in that one, you see your faith is fully justified. There is no justification for faithlessness, but faith is always justified. And I'll pause there. So I guess there's two things that come up for me that I just want to share about this paragraph. The sentence is really touching to me. It was sort of mid-paragraph. You do not use anything your brother has done before to condemn him now. That's part of our problem, right? Because we remember and see and make real a past that never was. And so we use that past that becomes our lens that we see the present through, thus keeping the actual present from us. And the other thing that I just wanted to highlight here toward the end, where it says, there is no justification for faithlessness, but faith is always justified. Justification for faithlessness is really what the body's eyes and ears are reporting to us. Those are the false witnesses. Everything that we perceive with the body's eyes and ears are playing that role of being that justification for faithlessness, which is just justification for the ego. It's evidence, you know, that we must have pulled off the separation because that is happening out there, and therefore our faithlessness is warranted. But this is saying clearly the opposite, that there is no justification for faithlessness, for faith is always justified. And we learn that experientially as we tap into our willingness, offer our willingness to Holy Spirit, and receive those miracles instead. So it's our experience that teaches us that our faith is justified. We're learning how to not rely on the body's eyes and ears to report back to us what is true, because the body's eyes and ears can't do that. That's not what they were made for. So I'm going to pause there and see if anybody has anything coming up so far. So to have faith is to heal. That's important for us to keep in mind as we continue.
Yeah, and earlier in this section, in paragraph 4, sentence 2, it says, faithlessness is the perception of a brother as a body. So what is faith, basically? What faith is he talking about? So it seems like if he says faithlessness is the perception of a brother as a body, so faith is seeing a brother as spirit, as Christ, as perfect Son of God, must be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that sentence up, Igor, because that's so clear and so important, that faithlessness is the perception of a brother as a body. Wow. Awesome. Thank you for bringing that up. Wonderful.
I have a question.
Let's keep going. Oh, yes.
Yeah, Corinne, this is Franny.
Franny.
And just
hi,
about
Franny.
Everyone. Hi. I'm a newbie with the course, meaning I'm going through it my first time in the mid-200s. So many of the ideas I'm still grasping. So, for example, the second sentence, it is the sign that you have accepted the atonement for yourself. And the idea of the atonement, could you say a little bit more about that? Is that something I choose for myself, or once again go to the Holy Spirit to ask for that?
Great question. Atonement, simply defined, is the undoing of fear in the mind. I've heard it referred to as at-one-ment, if you read it that way, but the atonement is the undoing of fear. So there's a course quote that says, the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for himself. And what that means is that it's our own responsibility to accept the undoing of fear in our own minds. So we made fear. We made it as a block, really, to our awareness of love's presence that is always there, has always been there, and will always be there because it's eternal. It's always in the now. And because we made that fear to be that in between, to be that block, so we can't see eternity anymore, we're the ones that need to then take that action to say, okay, here it is again, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to see this differently. I'm willing to give this to you. And through this forgiveness process that the Course teaches, which is really withholding nothing from Holy Spirit or our inner teacher, whatever, you know, word it is you want to use, that's how this atonement process, this undoing of fear, happens in the mind. It's Holy Spirit's job to switch out those false perceptions for loving perceptions through our willingness to not keep all those dark thoughts hidden, those fearful thoughts hidden. We bring them out into the open. So does that help?
Yes, it helps a lot. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Yeah, I would also recommend to take a look at the clarification of terms. Even in the first paragraph, it talks about the atonement, that The means of the atonement is forgiveness, as you said, Corinne, already. The means of the atonement is forgiveness. So in this line, in this paragraph says, it is the sign that you have accepted the atonement for yourself. So because basically we are forgiving ourselves. Because as the Course says, it is only our own guilt we project on them so that we can blame them. Like we use them as scapegoats. Yeah, all of those jerks we think are doing bad things.
Sure.
It's kind of very hurtful to learn that it's actually our own guilt we projected on them. But because we didn't want to blame ourselves because we don't like it, right? We projected on them, and so we use them as scapegoats. And it is the sign that you have accepted the atonement for yourself. So willingness to forgive ourselves and would therefore share it. So we forgive them and forgive ourselves in the end. Yeah? So we are undoing this guilt. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
That line, Holy Spirit, helped me to forgive myself for using, you know, how many times have I said it recently? For using whatever.
Say it again.
I've only said it 9 billion times this week. The holidays seem to bring up a lot of stuff, but at any rate, the Holy Spirit is really the one that helps us, you know, to forgive ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
For attacking ourselves viciously.
Mm-hmm. I loved the idea that I believe was on that tape, that YouTube of the elections, to separate the word for and giving, just to get a little different take on that, for giving ourselves to the Holy Spirit, or for giving the projection that we've put out there on someone else to the Holy Spirit. Just, I really liked that. I believe that was on that tape.
Oh,
it's actually very
really
interesting.
That helps me too. Go on, Igor.
Thank you, Corinne. It's very interesting, this kind of linguistical subtleties, because I was also at some point looked at the meaning of the word, like etymology of the word forgiveness, and I was surprised that this word was invented by, how do you call it, like creditors, basically, by the guys who were giving loans, and when they would, you know, forgive a loan, they would give it before, they would forgive it, you see? So if you would look at the dictionary, etymology dictionaries, forgive is basically to give in advance, kind of, to give in advance, forgive. Because in Russian, we use very different word. We use the word, two words, izvini, iz means out, vini means guilt. So out of guilt. But we say out of guilt me. Put me out of guilt. And I think your word for this is excuse. Ex means out, cuse means cause. So don't think that I am the cause of your upsetness maybe, you see. But I think now you're using this word excuse as in a different sense, not as out of cause. And also we in Russian we say another word which means simplify. Basically, if you translate it, so please simplify this. Please simplify this. So, and I think your analog would be take it easy. You say it, hey, take it easy. Don't get too, you know, just remind yourself that this is just a dream. This is not real. This isn't really happening. Take it easy, you know. So thank you.
That's awesome, Igor. I love learning about the roots of words. That was really fun. Thank you. Awesome. And thank you, Billy, just for sharing that piece about forgiveness, the forgiving. That always helps me to remember that. And I don't remember
yeah,
if I talked
I had
about
never,
this in that video or
not. Thought, I mean, that was your gift to me, and I also really enjoyed Igor's. And
yeah,
I love the
you.
Idea of simplification. Beautiful, Igor.
yeah, so helpful. I'll just add one thing, and then we'll read another paragraph, but we have to remember that, as Paula, this came up for me when you were speaking before, that it's all about turning to the Holy Spirit, that if we get caught in thinking we need to forgive, or if we get caught in thinking I need to choose love, we have no idea how to do that. We have no idea how to do that or what that even really means. And so that's where this part of our own minds, the Holy Spirit, does that for us. So that's our tiny little part, is to turn to that part of our minds with our willingness. So let's move ahead and read the next paragraph. I think we've only read one so far, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is the opposite of fear as much as, faith is the opposite of fear as much a part of love as fear is of attack. Faith is the acknowledgement of union. It is the gracious acknowledgement of everyone as a son of your most loving Father, loved by him like you, and therefore loved by you as yourself. It is his love that joins you, and for his love, you would keep no one separate from yours. Each one appears just as he is perceived in the holy instant, united in your purpose to be released from guilt. You saw the Christ in him, and he was healed because you looked on what makes faith forever justified in everyone. I feel moved to just reread those last two sentences again. Each one appears just as he is perceived in the holy instant, united in your purpose to be released from guilt. You saw the Christ in him, and he was healed because you looked on what makes faith forever justified in everyone. That's beautiful. So this is saying faith is the acknowledgement of union. It's the gracious acknowledgement of everyone as a son of your most loving Father, loved by him like you, and therefore loved by you as yourself. I'll just share a quick example that I've been finding it helpful lately to not turn on the news because it's much easier for me to be in this space when the body's eyes and ears aren't being bombarded with all sorts of witnesses that would tell me that certain brothers, sisters, I'm using brothers in a gender-neutral way, that they're not worthy of love. So here, this is just, again, talking way beyond the love of the world and not not a love that's based on you know what we see or hear, but a love like our Father loves.
You know, some people would say that that's sticking your head in the sand, but that truly, this really takes a lot of, we need to protect ourselves, in a sense, from that, from, you know, what the world is telling us. We really need to withdraw from the craziness.
You know, it's interesting that you say protect, Paula, because
yeah, that doesn't... Go ahead.
I came across, I'm just going to see if I can find it really quick. There was a reference about how God's angels, I think this is it. Actually, I'm seeing two references. I'll read them both really quick. It was about angels, and it was just, it struck me. Say his name, and you invite the angels to surround the ground on which you stand and sing to you as they spread out their wings to keep you safe and shelter you from every worldly thought that would intrude upon your holiness. And then there's another reference. There's a few other references to angels, but here's the other one that my eyes just went to. Around you, angels hover lovingly to keep away all darkened thoughts of sin and keep the light where it has entered in. And so that was just, it just struck me, Paula, when you said that word, those quotes, those references about angels.
It's I think we need the willingness, though, to allow that.
Yes, yes. And that's where perhaps the protection part, we have to be where we're at, right? So if
right.
we feel we need to withdraw from the news, we do it, and we do it without guilt, and we do that withdrawal with the Holy Spirit. So we're not doing this from a place of deciding how we think, you know, we need to handle it. Instead, whatever we do it with Spirit. We let ourselves
Beautiful.
Be where we are at. But that's protection from what the references that I just read is happening from beyond our thought system.
Thank you.
It's all about the ability to get it in our head that it's only our own guilt we forgive them, Corinne, right? This is kind of a question, would I forgive myself for it through them? You see, because this week I was reading the pamphlets, additional pamphlets, Psychotherapy and Song of Prayer, rereading them. And this is just astounding pieces of text. You know, this is amazing because I was starting to read the Course with also those drafts versions like Sparkly and others, and I didn't have Psychotherapy and Song of Prayer in them, you know, and I really wish I could read those pamphlets right at the beginning when I started reading the Course. So especially the gentleman who said he's very new to the Course, I highly recommend you to start from the Song of Prayer and then maybe try to read the Psychotherapy, because they give you kind of very distilled teaching, very powerful, you know, very powerful. So, and this week when I was rereading those pamphlets, it kind of deeply sinked into me that really I should forgive them. I should forgive those politicians, you know, those Hillary Clintons, those Putins, and those and everyone else. And yeah, kind of, it was so good to me, like, yes, I can do it, and this is my own guilt I see in them. Yes, I really willing to see them as innocent. And just like the next day, maybe, the Pizzagate shows up. Oh, my gosh. The Pizzagate shows up, and I think...
The what
Pizzagate. Pizzagate. Haven't you heard about this? You can find it on YouTube. It's all over the place now. And I think
Oh,
my God. Those guys aren't going to make it any easier to me to forgive them. Just as I decided to forgive them, the Pizzagate shows up. Oh, my God. This
Turn
is
off.
Ridiculous. Oh,
Turn
my
it
God.
Off. I can't
Thank
watch
you,
it for
Igor.
Two
we'll
seconds.
Be presented with countless opportunities to get hooked and countless opportunities to choose again. did I hear Billy's voice before? Billy, did I hear your voice earlier?
Yeah, I just made the comment. It certainly takes our villains away from us.
Yeah. Oh, yes. well
and
said.
That was one of the earliest things that just kind of blew me away about the Course, because I had in my youth thought that there was some virtue to understanding who the bad guys are.
mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it just, you know, takes that rug right out from underneath.
It does. It does. Yep, whether we like it or not, if we'd like to keep those. Yeah.
And I have found in Donald Trump just the oddest thing. After the election, I just found myself being much braver, much... It kind of emboldened me to live it more faithfully, more...
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what to do with that because I would have thought that it would have buried me, but it did kind of just did the opposite, and I'm...
That's beautiful, Billy, and I'm right there with you. That is the one of the the Trump call that you watched on YouTube. That was me being feeling emboldened, feeling like a stronger voice for love, less fearful, really fearless. I shared this on just a call a week or two ago that I experienced a healing because of the election, because I'm no longer afraid of being attacked for speaking the course. I used to be so afraid, oh, I don't want to say it the wrong way and offend anybody, and what if I get attacked by, you know, someone who thinks that I'm nuts, and that's fallen away completely as a result of this election. I feel wholly willing to be a open channel, to let love speak through me, and to have no, judgment on outcomes of whatever it might be that looks like. So I am right there.
High five
with
that
you.
With the Holy Spirit.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I just said high five that with the Holy Spirit.
High five that, yes. High five that, yes. Oh,
Corinne?
Beautiful.
Corinne?
Yes.
This is Angela. I wonder if you can shed a little bit of light on this in terms of when you think of Christianity and what forgiveness talks about, and then you think of forgiveness in Course in Miracles, it's completely different. I'm sure it's not only Christianity, and I think it really boggles my mind, and I guess one of the things that's so little is asked of us to give it to the Holy Spirit, and then to maybe to ask for the experience, or to have experiences with, to give it to the Holy Spirit, and I don't know how else to enunciate, you know, act for the experiences of faith. I think it takes great willingness. Beyond that, I really don't know what to say at this moment. So maybe mm-hmm. you can help me out a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you're raising something that's very true in that I would even say the forgiveness of the world, you know, it does go beyond just Christianity. It's the forgiveness of the world is very different than the forgiveness taught by the Course. And that's why we need the Course. That's why, you know, we're drawn to the Course. And it's not reconcilable. You know, we can't really make sense or find a common place of these two different types of forgiveness, because they're different. One, the forgiveness of the world is part of the closed loop of the ego thought system that's meant to keep us in the world, to keep us believing that this separation has occurred. This is who we are. We are these bodies. We are these separate selves. Whereas forgiveness in the Course is leading us out. It's the vertical. It's rather than staying in the horizontal closed loop of the ego thought system, this is a vertical ascend where now we are stepping out of that ego thought system through the Holy Spirit, who is our, you know, communication link, who is that bridge. And you're absolutely right that it is, we are asking for those experiences through Holy Spirit, and that it's that tiny bit of willingness that we're asked. We're actually asked to do very little, but we like to make it much more complicated. That's why there are several, many hundred pages in this book, which can really be boiled down to, you know, one idea. Meg, yes.
I wanted to say something. That was really well said, because I really feel that one type of forgiveness is a forgiveness that keeps you in the story, and which is the horizontal forgiveness, because it still reinforces the story, because you are forgiving someone, other than yourself. You're forgiving inside the dream. Whereas the other forgiveness, which I thought you said that quite well, is freeing you from the story, freeing you from the dream of the story. So I think that was really well said, what you said.
Well, Meg, thank you for adding that, because you're bringing that piece in about the story. That's beautiful, and I totally agree about the forgiveness of the world keeping you in the story and the forgiveness of the Course helping us to take that step out of it. So thank you for adding that. That was very helpful. Angela, did that help?
I think so. Something resonates, and that's a really good thing. I'm not sure exactly how to use it, because go to Holy Spirit. I mean, definitely, you know, it's very clear, and I just, the second part that you're saying as far as going to the Holy Spirit, and that's why we have so many pages and it explains so little is asked of us, and it's an experiential, if I'm saying that correctly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what we're asking for, the experiences, experiential. It's not, you know, when my memory comes back to that. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Thank you. That was well said. That was well said.
And thank you. I will continue to listen.
Yeah. Thank you, Angela.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Let's read
May I ask
another
Angela
paragraph.
A question? This is Billy.
Oh, sure. Sure, Billy.
Angela, were your question about Christianity, were you raised in a Christianity? Because I was, and I found that, you know, it is so different from my upbringing.
I was, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was so different from how I was raised, and you know, the kind of magical idea of blood atonement, this magical thing that really didn't make any sense. That's what I was brought up on, and I'm very glad to have found as the vertical explanation for that.
Yes, and you know, what's interesting is what comes up is I think of Lisa Natoli, and she does a 40-day program, and it may be something that I repeat again, because it makes things, I don't know, it just helps, especially when it comes to this, and it's kind of like crossing a barrier in, you know, I'm not very vocal tonight as far as what I want to say. It's been a while, but I've been really struggling. But I will, like I said, I will continue to listen and continue to be open.
Thank you, Angela. Yeah, that's all you need to do. Be open and listen and have that willingness. And I love Lisa Natoli and her 40-day program, so that's a great idea. I think you're not the only person who's taken it more than once. I know there's a lot of people who have, so. Awesome.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. Let's read the next paragraph. It starts with, faith is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God through him whom God has given you. Faithlessness looks upon the Son of God and judges him unworthy of forgiveness. But through the eyes of faith, the Son of God is seen already forgiven, free of all the guilt he laid upon himself. Faith sees him only now, because it looks not to the past to judge him, but would see in him only what it would see in you. It sees not through the body's eyes, nor looks to bodies for its justification. It is the messenger of the new perception, sent forth to gather witnesses unto its coming, and to return their messages to you. Faith is as easily exchanged for knowledge as is the real world. For faith arises from the Holy Spirit's perception and is the sign you share it with him. Faith is a gift you offer to the Son of God through him and wholly acceptable to his Father as to him, and therefore offered you. And there I will pause, and that might be mid-paragraph break for FIP folks, so that's just an FYI. So, there's so much here, and I had so much go through my mind as we were reading. Faithlessness looks upon the Son of God and judges him unworthy of forgiveness. So again, that's the ego. That is like the definition of the ego. Looking without and seeing these seeming separate bodies and judging them unworthy of forgiveness. But through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, the Son of God is seen already forgiven, free of all the guilt he laid upon himself. This part was making me think of Meg's comment before, how this is about us without all the stories that we've laid on ourselves. It's this, our true nature is this pure love, and we've, the ego, I mean, the Course, even the grand story, the Course says the ego wrote the script. That was the ego writing the story of separation, and in our continued willingness to listen to that story, to listen to that voice, for keeping the story going. And God is storyless. The only story of God is love, period. It's eternity, period. And so this, as we were reading this, I was just thinking about this, the sentence, sort of kind of mid-paragraph, faith sees him only now because it looks not to the past to judge him, but would see him, but would see in him only what it would see in you. It sees not through the body's eyes, nor looks to bodies for justification. So again, there, that just reminded me of this vision that is completely outside of a story. And the stories that we tell ourselves make up our identity as a separate self. It makes up, you know, it makes up everything. So I love this idea of stepping outside of the story through Holy Spirit's vision into being, into that truth, that love that we are. Any thoughts coming up for anyone at the moment?
Just that we're far too tolerant of mind wandering.
That's a good one.
That's what he says in here. You're far too tolerant of mind wandering.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good one.
Yeah, I've really noticed how also holding grievances, because, you know, the whole political scene, I really found myself doing that a lot, just holding grievances against people. And that's been very liberating, and to just to really, really get a look at that and how often I do that. And, you know, that, I am so willing to give to the Holy Spirit. Just take it.
Yeah, beautiful. Well said, well said. Yeah, this gives us the everything happening right now, and really always, but it really has felt like it's been heating up, will give us endless opportunities to get hooked, endless opportunities to judge, and endless opportunities to choose again. So, yeah, I like how you said that, Paula. Take it. Take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me.
Yeah.
As the Course says.
And really, and the good thing is, I maybe occasionally would do that, but that I think this whole thing has really brought up a lot for people to really, you know, put feet to our prayers and really use this Course.
Yes, yes. You just nailed it, and that was what Billy was saying before, and what I was also affirming, that this is now no longer, I feel like particularly, and I can only speak for myself, but I've also been speaking with a lot of other Course students through this, and I feel like with everything happening, this is now, we're really being asked to do this in every waking moment, not just, like you just said, Paula, occasionally doing it. We're now being asked all the time to be applying these ideas, to be catching those. In FIP, it talks about scraps of fear. In these earlier editions, it talks about scraps of meanness. So scraps of meanness was edited into scraps of fear, which I love both. I think both are extremely useful, and to me, they're also slightly different. So it just helps. But the first time I read that about scraps of meanness, it was like, whoa, yeah, there are those tiny, fleeting, judgmental thoughts that don't seem fearful. They are fear. They are scraps of fear. But those tiny judgmental thoughts of how can somebody, you know, vote for that candidate, or how can this be, you know, all those judgments that we have, we're now being asked to not brush those aside, but to take each one, to look at each one with Holy Spirit, to not keep any of them. This is like that. It's a process of purification, and we have this tool to help us purify the mind, and now we're being asked to use it consistently. And I think many of us practicing this pathway are getting that message through this current political climate.
Definitely.
Yeah. Awesome. Let's read the next paragraph. Or continuing on in the paragraph that I stopped mid-FIP edition. But for those of us in Sparkle and Original, we're beginning with the sentence, your holy relationship. We're beginning with the paragraph, your holy relationship with its new purpose. Your holy relationship with its new purpose offers you faith to give unto each other. Your faithlessness had driven you apart, and so you did not recognize salvation in each other. Yet faith unites you in the holiness you see, not through the body's eyes, but in the sight of him who joined you and in whom you are united. Grace is not given to a body, but to a mind. And the mind that receives it looks instantly beyond the body and sees the holy place where it was healed. There is the altar where the grace was given, in which it stands. Do you then offer grace and blessing to each other, for you stand at the same altar where grace was laid for both of you? And be you healed by grace together, that you may heal through faith. Another beautiful, beautiful paragraph. Before I say what I was going to say, I have my glossary index of A Course in Miracles from Ken Wapnick, and I'm opening up to the word grace. Ken Wapnick has in this glossary index, grace, our natural state as spirit, awareness of which returns to us when we complete our lessons of forgiveness, an aspect of God's love in this world, past learning, for it cannot be taught, but the goal of learning, for all lessons point to its love. So the goal of learning, for all lessons point to its love, is grace. What came up for me when I was reading this paragraph was also the word charity. The Course also uses that term, and that is in my own words, not seeing through the body's eyes, but seeing that person beyond where it is that they think they are, or that our body's eyes would report that they are. This middle of the paragraph reminded me of this when it said, faith sees him only now because it looks not to the past to judge him, but would see in him only what it would see in you. It sees not through the body's eyes, nor looks to bodies for its justification. It is the messenger of the new perception. sent forth together witnesses unto its coming and return their messages to you. So that spoke to me, at least what came to mind for me was this idea of, again, charity, with not looking to bodies for evidence that our brother is separate for us, but instead being willing to see with the Holy Spirit's vision, to see the truth beyond the form. And that's where we can't just do that. That's where that prayer, I've said it so many times, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. It's that one that I use every time I'm looking through my own body's eyes and thinking that what I'm seeing is real. Take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. So any thoughts, questions, comments, insights, either about this paragraph or anything that we've read so far?
Hey, Corinne, it's Deidre.
Deidre, I'm going to turn this over to you in just one moment, but I just realized something.
Sure.
I've read, when I shared a sentence just then in the middle of a paragraph, I went to the wrong paragraph. It was a different sentence that I was going to read because I noted something with my pencil and I looked at the wrong spot. What I just said about charity, which probably now that I'm thinking about it may have sounded confusing, although what I read still reminded me of it. We just read something. It said, the mind that receives grace looks instantly beyond the body and sees the holy place where it was healed. That was what I was originally going to highlight. So, my bad. Deidre, go ahead.
Oh, it's all good, Corinne. It's all good. I just
we forgive you, Corinne.
What did you say, Igor?
We'll forgive you.
I missed that. You forgive me? Okay, good. I'm sorry, Deidre, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just going to share that looking at all this stuff with spirit lately, there's been such clarity, and I'm sure others can relate to this, that there's this, I don't know, it just feels like this rapid expansion or this speed up that's happening, like, we're all going home together no matter what path you might choose as your spiritual path, and it's like this acceleration that's happening. And there's two course quotes that keep coming to mind for me lately to really look at and apply in my experience. And the one is, if I defend, I am attacked, or something close to that. So when I defend, I actually believe I'm attacked. And in my defenselessness, my safety lies. And I came out of meditation one day, and I just had this really, really deep, clear understanding to not just look at this idea in terms of the political climate of the world right now, but in all of our experiences, you know, when we feel in our day-to-day life, moment-to-moment experience, that we need to defend something, anything at all, that need to defend is also how deeply we believe that we are these bodies, that we are these stories. And so if we're willing to let that go and just be at peace with whatever is unfolding, because there's nothing in the world that can provide safety for us. The safety only comes from going within. And that's the... So basically, the world of form could explode, and we'd still be safe because nothing can happen to us. So I just wanted to share that because it was a really profound sort of thing that happened in looking at that. And so I've been really, really looking in my life as, you know, where do I feel the need to, like, speak up on things and really defend a point of view, because when there's no point of view to defend, there's no cause for division. There's no belief in separation.
And it simplifies everything.
It simplifies everything, yeah.
It really does.
Is it kind of a warning from you, Deidre? Because I know you're kind of sensitive, huh?
No, I'm not. It's not a warning. It's just something that came in meditation with my higher self, and I've been applying it in my experience, and it's been it's just something to look at, like, and be aware of, like, where are the areas where we get caught up in defending a point of view in a position, because the tighter we're holding on to those defenses, the more we believe that we are these false identities. And if we can loosen our hold on those identities, that's where the peace comes. David Hofmeister talks about how living his life the way that he does, and the practice that he's assumed, that having no opinion about things in the world is actually quite threatening. You know, people want to get him to say, well, what do you feel about this, or what do you think about that? And David doesn't want to commit one way or the other, because he sees the wisdom. And as soon as you've said, well, I'm pro this or I'm this, that,
you lose half of your audience. Huh?
Yeah, you're solidifying, you know, it's one side of an argument. And really, from spirit's perspective, there's nothing, there is no argument, right? There is no side. There is only truth.
There's no point of view. There's right. No point of view from spirit. I love, Deidre, I'm giggling when you said that, you know, point of view. I immediately thought, if there's a point of view, it has to be from the ego, right?
Right.
Spirit doesn't have that point. Like, spirit is above all of this, all of it. It transcends all of it. There's no point to view from. It just is. So that just came up for me, and I very much have enjoyed your share.
Thank you.
And the ego always wants to be right about whatever its opinion is. You know?
It sure does. It sure does. And I'll also add too, Deidre, when you were sharing, the course quote came to mind, the world is not your home. Like, this is just all such a wonderful opportunity for us to remember that as we are tempted to look with the body's eyes and ears at the external and thinking that the picture needs to be a certain way for us to be comfortable. Again, the course isn't about making our egos comfortable. It's about us waking up. It's about really learning that this world is not our home. Is not our home.
Yeah, like, for example, just as you said that, Corinne, I remember, like, after the election, and there's all this kind of stuff and going on, and people were talking about it, and things were happening, and someone on my Facebook feed said something to the effect of, we've got to fight the good fight, right? So I took that statement and just really looked at it, and I thought, well, my goodness, what is the good fight? Is there a good fight? I don't
anger
know.
Anger is never justified.
Exactly.
Attack is no foundation.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. So it just it cracks me open even more to looking at the only reason there is any justification for anything is if we've made something real for us that isn't spirit, that isn't truth.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just another
What's happening right now? I'm sorry, Deidre, did you finish your thought?
I
didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to say this, particularly right now, because I think we can see it more than ever, this is the reality show of reality shows. So
yeah,
really, like it's some of it, again, can be very triggering and very hooking, but it can also be extraordinarily comical because it's that insane. So
yeah,
remember, it's all a big reality show. So yeah,
and that big the thought too, Corinne, this is the last thing I'll say, is that your talk, your YouTube was so profound that you offered, where you talked about the two sides of the same coin. And so if you're getting hooked in that idea of that there is a good fight, that then what part of the mind is engaging in that fight, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What part of the mind? So this whole thing has ripped me wide open, and I'm applying it in my relationships with people that I engage with, you know, clients, work, family, people that I meet on the street. If I have a thought that something's good and something's not, then I'm looking at that, you know, and so it's all of that because it's all the same thought. There is no, Trump and my family at home. It's all the same. It's all the same. And that's where it can get a little bit convoluted sometimes, because that can be where we think we are these bodies. But really, when you break it down, what's going on in my relationships is the same that's being reflected out there in the world, because it's all the same projection.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. Well, that I just looked at the clock, and we're at the top of our time together. So, Deidre, thank you. Thank you, everybody who shared tonight. It's always so rich, and I always learn so much, and this is so helpful for me. I hope this has been helpful for you all, too. So I love you all. Big group hug.
Group hug.
I'll see you all next week. Bye, everybody.
Thank
Good
you
night.
All. God bless you.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye. Good night, everyone. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, family.